Good morning, Texas. Welcome to the Cup of Goodness program. This is Mike Paulson in North Dakota. This is Sunday. We will be actually completing the book of Ephesians this morning. We are in Ephesians chapter 6. We are looking at the goodness of God, not the severity of God, not the threats, not the fearsomeness of God, but the goodness of God, because in Romans, Paul tells us that it's the goodness of God that gets us people to repent and get our lives turned around and turn ourselves towards God and to have all that darkness be lit up with his words. So that's what this program has always been about. Let's just get right into this morning. It took us a couple weeks to get to this point, but we finally made it. This is Ephesians chapter 6, and we are as far as verse 10. Now we're going to start looking at the armor of God. Now again, I could take hours and hours and pick up all the verses that explain each different detail of armor, but I'm just going to give you what you could learn if you were to look at the armor of God as Paul preaches and teaches it. You'll see a difference between the plastic armor that people have by going to the Gospels and Peter and James and John, Jude and all that, as compared to what Paul teaches to be the real armor of God. And I'm sure you've all seen pictures of kids, drawing this cute little soldier with his armor on. And see, all this is a real classic object lesson type of a sermon. But I think there's something people tend to miss when they read these verses on the armor of God. And here's what it is in a nutshell. This is what you would see. You would see that the armor of God that we need to put on as a Christian, every item of that armor is actually provided by God. It isn't something that we can develop. It isn't something that we can earn. It isn't something that we ourselves create. It's what he has given us as a Christian. So when people say, well, have you received the Spirit of God? If you have, you can speak in tongues, that type of a thing. That's just a baloney doctrine for this dispensation of grace. But what you can ask somebody, or even ask yourself, not have you received the Spirit of God? You learn that right away in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, 12, 13 and 14, that you receive the Spirit of God the moment you are saved. That's not the question to ask. But do people realize what they receive from God? So we'll show you that in Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. We're going to start with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, like I said earlier here, I'll tell you what Paul teaches, and if that interests you and that excites you, then you need to just make sure you have a King James Bible, and you go to my website, www.scatteredchristians.org, and you can learn how you can find all the verses that show you what it is that I'm teaching you this morning. I hate to do a sermon. I don't ever do sermons without scriptures, but this morning we have three programs left, including today's. And there just isn't the time to go through all these scriptures and turn these into a week-long series. But it is an exciting thing if a person can realize that this armor of God, as fabulous and serious as it is, and how fabulous and serious we need it, when you find out that it isn't something you have to create, it isn't something that you provide by being that good Christian. The armor of God is not based on your walk. It's based on what God promised. So we learn, for example, in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We've already learned a couple of things. First of all, we realize that Paul is teaching these things to the brethren. And when he teaches us to love the brethren and to be with the brethren, he's talking about the brethren. He is not talking about the whole world that lies out there that has rejected Christ, rejected God, or have fallen into the traps and the deceitfulness of a different gospel, another gospel, as Paul calls it. So the first thing we've learned that Paul talks to the Christians. And I find a lot of Christians, so-called Christians, I'm saying, that they apply all these doctrines about grace and love and all this stuff to the whole world. And that isn't the way it's supposed to be. Again, you can find that from Paul, www.scatteredchristians.org. So when this radio program, by the way, fades out after Tuesday, the website's still there, and I will still be putting updated sermons and teachings onto that website, so you don't have to say goodbye to North Dakota. You just have to say goodbye to North Dakota on this particular radio station. So we'll talk about that more on Tuesday. Right now, let's go back. Verse 11, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Okay, here we go, right? That's the whole armor of God. We need to put that on. Well, how do we put that on? Do we have to go out and do we have to earn each article of armor here? Then it says here that you're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles of the devil is referring to the devices of the devil. What does he do? He's very subtle. And I know some people are able to pick up on the obvious ones, but what about the ones that are so subtle? Like music, for example. Or just going to a good church for fellowship. Or listening to a good preacher because he's an articulated type of a preacher. Doesn't matter whether he's teaching a false thing or not, you don't care. Doesn't matter what's going on in the music, you just like the song. Or you like the rhythm, you like the instrumental arrangement of it, or whatever it is you like. You don't realize that the doctrine in this modern Christian music is wrong. It's false doctrine. I've even said before that contemporary Christian music, they have their own statement of faith as an organization, and it goes against what the scriptures teach. By the way, scripture is referring to King James Bible. So we look at verse 11 again now. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I thought you said you couldn't put this on. You're not the one that's getting addressed. You're the one that's responding as a Christian to Christ. And then he has this armor of God available for those people that want to put it on. It isn't something you earn before you can get it. Okay. So it gives you a chance to stand against all these devices of the devil. This armor of God, how can it do such a thing? Well, when you realize what goes on here with Paul's teachings, you'll understand this. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, there's our enemy. And I think a lot of people realize that many times our enemy, our boss, is not our enemy. Our friend who's challenging what you believe is not your enemy. Your family that knocks you down because of what you believe. All that sort of a thing. All those contention discussions that come about, they're really not the enemy. They're being used by the enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That is not our fight. And that's hard to say that, and it's hard to live that, because we can so easily get into the flesh and blood battles with people about over doctrine and things like that, or the King James Bible versus other Bibles. And before you know it, you're at odds with each other. Now, we're not to be at odds. If it's a problem, we're supposed to just avoid, withdraw from, have no company with. Paul teaches that, but he doesn't say for us to always be at odds. If it's going to get to that point, then you need to just move on. You just need to get out of that situation and go someplace else and continue with your... It's nice. What's one of the nice things about wearing shoes? You get your shoes dusted every time you need to go someplace else. Clean off your shoes and go on to the next place. And that's what Paul did. And that's what we should be doing. Just remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Politics, that's flesh and blood. The economy, that's flesh and blood. Best is to stay away from those things. Just realize that our enemy is the devil himself. He's the one who wants to be like the Most High. He's the one that's trying to get people into a different Bible. He's the one that's trying to get you to realize your righteousness is your righteousness, not his, meaning God's righteousness. He's the one that's trying to trick people. He's the one that's behind your principal, your boss, being the way he or she is. He's the one behind all these educational curriculums. He's the one behind all the things that are taking place in our economy. He's the one that's behind all the things that are taking place in our government. He just happens to have people who are so blind that they will just follow and respond to him. Then you've got these folks that understand the King James Bible. They understand how to rightly divide it, and they can see things that are going on. And it's easy for us to turn that into a flesh and blood battle. And it doesn't need to be that way at all. Verse 13, here we go now. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The last thing that we're just going to have to do, we're getting knocked off of this, we're getting knocked off of that, people are throwing this away, they're done to the Bibles, their music is going the way it's going, the fashion, the immodesty, the behavior of women, the lack of manness to men, all the things that are going on. It keeps knocking us around as Christians. We see what's going on, and we see that. We understand that. But he says, listen, having done all, stand. Just stand for what's right. Stand for the King James Bible. You may not get anywhere forward with it, but don't go backwards with it. Don't give up on it. Otherwise, you're sitting down. You're not standing anymore. You need to stand. And if that's all you can do is stand for something, the truth, Paul, rightly divided, King James Bible, truth about doctrinal things, truth about sin versus sins, sin versus sinning, spiritual circumcision. If you can't get anywhere with that stuff with people, stand. Just don't go backwards with it. Don't give up. Here we go, 14. Here's the list of things here. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Well, there we go. Truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. Where is God's word? Thy word is truth. No other Bible tells everybody that God promised to preserve his words. So are these Bibles that you have, are they truth? And I could talk for hours about that. No, they're not truth. So these Christians today, their loins are not girt about with truth. And if your loins are open to attack, that's pretty easy to take you down. Those loins, that's the tough stuff. You let those loins get messed up, and there goes a lot of your strength right there. Then it says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Whose righteousness? Your righteousness? To be that good Christian that people think you need to be? The good Christian stopping from sinning? Or are we talking about the righteousness that God imputes to the Christian in Romans chapter 4 and Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 6? You're made free. See, you gotta study these things out with Paul. Paul's books, Romans to Philemon. So we need to stand. We need to have that truth wrapped around our loins. We need to have on this big breastplate of righteousness, and it's his righteousness that we put up there. Then he says in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, what's this gospel of peace? Isn't the Beatitudes? Or should I say aren't the Beatitudes? I guess if I'm speaking of each individual one, I should say are. Aren't the Beatitudes the way of peace? No. Well, it says right there in verse 5, chapter 5, I think it's verse 9, there we go, chapter 5, verse 9, that if you're a peacemaker, then you're a child of God. Well, Paul tells us to have this peace in our life, but we have this peace from the risen Savior. We have this peace from God himself. We can have peace with God. We can have peace from God. We can have the peace of God, and we can have the God of peace. That's how Paul mentions those things. So there's the peace that we have to have. The peace that we have is on the inside. People that have this outside peace because they have a lot of money, or they're very bold and strong in their mouthing and their sermoning and their preaching and all that stuff, which modern Christians are still heavily into. They're talking about their gospel of peace. On the inside, when they put their head down at night, I don't think there's a lot of peace there. Unless they've, of course, convinced themselves that their doctrine is right, and they end up being very conceited. Just think about this. If you could live the life the way you wanted, and then just confess your sins at night and be done with it, then I guess you could call that a gospel of peace. But how do you know that that's the truth? Well, what about you guys? You don't have to do anything. All things are lawful. Well, yes, all things are lawful, because Christ took care of sin. He washed away my sins, but he took care of sin by fulfilling the law. So now he can impute to me his righteousness. But things that I do are going to burn up in the judgment seat of Christ. And that's far more serious than I think people realize. That will be a suffering, a heavy loss. If you understand where the risen Savior is coming from, as this world falls apart here, we've got peace. Let's look to verse 6 here. For God, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. By the way, notice it says, commanded the light to shine out of darkness. We are still living in a dark world around us. We have to be that light from within that darkness. Anyway, bunny trail. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us. And if we can allow God to teach us and to give us that peace that we're talking about in Ephesians chapter 6 from this armor, here's how we take our stand. We are troubled on every side in verse 8. We're troubled. We see what's going on out there. We're troubled by it. Yet not distressed. We don't let it get to us. We are perplexed. We truly are perplexed. How can somebody miss something so easy and simple as the King James Bible versus these other Bibles? How can somebody miss the easiness and the simplicity of rightly dividing the Scriptures? It all makes such total sense. So we're perplexed. But we have to not let it be. We have to not be in despair. Because it says here, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. It says in verse 9, persecuted, but not forsaken. How many people have given up because of the lightness of the persecution they're getting? It may be real hard to them, but they felt forsaken. There is no God there, so they quit. That's very common. And it troubles me, but I don't let it distress me. I'm perplexed about the whole thing, but don't need to be in despair. And I know that when we get these challenges in our life, we're not forsaken. And then it says cast down. Well, but we're not destroyed. We tend to destroy ourselves with our opinions of ourselves, with our own frustrations that we put upon ourselves, that we're totally missing the gospel of peace that Paul preaches. And that's part of the armor of God. That's why some of us crumble, is because either we're trying to depend upon our righteousness again to keep us happy, trying to stand on something that really isn't truth, or we're all mixed up about peace. And then verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. Well, then we realize that in Philippians and in Galatians, the faith we have in Christ, the faith that we put in Christ, we receive the faith of Christ in return. So when he's telling us here, above all, taking the shield of faith, he's handing us his shield. And if we can't hide behind God's shield, or stand behind, or do our work behind the shield of God, the shield of faith, it's his faith. It says, whereby ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now remember, in verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where the darts are coming from. Our faith isn't going to be strong enough. You go to Hebrews chapter 11, those people in the Old Testament, they had to have a faith strong enough that they could fight the darts of the devil as such. But here, we're not that strong. So he gives us his faith, and that's the faith that bounds off all this stuff. If we could picture that taking place in our lives, it's his faith that keeps us going. It's his faith that actually protects us from the fiery darts of the wicked. And number 17, verse 17 here. This is interesting. This has two elements of the armor, but it's only one piece. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Two in one. And then it says, which is the word of God? So the word of God, Ephesians chapter 1, I've said this before, is it the gospel of your salvation? Without a doubt, the King James Bible is proven historically, doctrinally, spiritually, with your mind. Everything has been proven. These new Bibles that come out, totally different. And some are dastardly totally different. How can they be the gospel of your salvation if they don't even teach that in that Bible? So the helmet of salvation is the King James Bible. He gives us that salvation. We don't get our salvation because of the King James Bible, but that's where we find it, is in the risen Savior, rightly divided by Paul. That's where we find true and honest salvation. And that Bible is called the gospel of your salvation. And then, of course, the sword of the Spirit. We need a spiritual circumcision operation, and it's done with a sword. Seems to me in Hebrews chapter 4:12, it talks about the sword, the Bible, his words even being sharper than a two-edged sword. That's why people hate this King James Bible so much. This King James Bible represents the armor of God. And the devil is not going to let people get a hold of that thing. So verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, those two things, which is the word of God, it says. Continuing on, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Those are the Christians. That's for the brethren. And Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. Paul is a marvelous one to study when it comes to prayers. You want to read what Paul's praying for us? I have that listed on my website in Philippians and Ephesians and Colossians. Read what Paul's praying for his people. Don't read it like a repetitious prayer. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you look at what Paul's praying for his people, and you should be praying the same things. Again, not repetition, but you see what's really serious to be praying for here. So he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication of in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, not loudly or rudely or stupidly, just boldly. Just give people the Scriptures to make known the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel is Ephesians chapter 3. That is Paul's ministry. So when we read here that I may to make known the mystery of the gospel, if you want to have the right utterance, it's not speaking in tongues. It's speaking through a King James Bible. And that's your prayer, that I would be able to open my mouth boldly and know what to say based on the Scriptures, not on your opinion. And to make known the mystery of the gospel, that's basically saying to make known the preaching and teaching of Paul. More specifically, the preaching of the risen Savior Jesus Christ. And then verse 20, Paul says, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And Paul speaks boldly to us if we read his Bible, if we read the King James Bible. People don't like to read the King James Bible because it speaks boldly to us. If you want to take a Greek reference, if you want to find the Hebrew definitions, if you want to take a phrase and study the history of this and the history of that, and all this kind of stuff, find a bunch of guys on YouTube preaching one or two points in a sermon, then you're not letting Paul speak boldly to you. So you don't open up your Bible. You can pray all you want that utterance be given unto you, but unless you know your Scriptures, you're not going to have anything to say. Then it finishes up with verse 21. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Who's this Tychicus or Tychicus? Never could understand some of these words. How can he do this? He's not one of the major writers. Well, you know what he did? He's the one that wrote down the words for Paul in the book of Romans. So when Paul says this about this guy, Tychicus, he sends him to you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Tychicus wrote that stuff down so we can have that today. He is the one that wrote down the book of Romans. Paul gets to us through a Bible, through a King James Bible, rightly divided. And if this Tychicus guy hadn't written that stuff down, we wouldn't have that today. Paul spoke it, but he's the one that penned it. And obviously it was written from Rome because it says Romans. Understand that? It's so simple. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Notice, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. That's who Paul prays grace for. We do know in Romans chapter 2, this is a dispensation of grace based on Ephesians chapter 3, but Romans chapter 2 tells us that right now the lost world even has God's grace. They have available to him the goodness of God, because that's what should be leading these lost people to Christ. Their time will come at their death, at their white throne judgment. Our time has already come. Our sins have been judged, washed away. Now we're just waiting to walk through our walk for the judgment seat of Christ. And we should have a peace while we do that. And we need to make sure that we have the whole armor of God on. Do you have his righteousness? Do you have his faith? Are you looking to Paul for the gospel of peace? Do you have the real salvation, or is it a false salvation? Do you have the sword of the Spirit, the true sword of the Spirit, the King James Bible, or do you have a butter knife? And do you even take time to pray? And do you want to speak boldly the truth? That's in your King James Bible. That's the armor of God. And that's the end of Ephesians. We'll talk to you folks tomorrow.